Ron and Anian.
Where are we going? What are we doing?
The Warwick Drive-In Theater for a...
The Cruise for Critters and our affiliate up in Warwick, WTVQ.
It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Right, we're going to put you on display.
Hope everybody's wearing dark sunglasses. The Car Doctor. Wait till the first car comes in that you're working on that has no fuel pressure, and you get to driving it on propane. You'll be like, oh, thank God.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome. Ron and Andy and the Car Doctor here at the helm today. 855-560-9900 is the phone number. The Car Doctor's 24-7 phone number, that is. And you can call 855-560-9900. We are live in studio today. Unfortunately, Tom changed his mind and didn't take me out on my date. We're not at the drive-in.
I'm real disappointed because I was hoping to go see, you know, Close for the Season and see you next summer.
Well, now you're going to see ya, not there. New movie. What happened?
Little dirty behind-the-scenes secret is we tend to live on the Internet, and that's how we get the show over to the satellite uplink so all our stations can carry it. And when I showed up this morning, there was no Internet, and we tested it last week, and it worked like a champ. So
yeah.
The phone company had a... must have had an issue, but it was too close to call, so we came back to the studio.
So technology kind of brings us back to square one.
Yep.
Sort of like it makes you wonder when all the cars are dependent upon the Internet. And I think about this. You know, you get into these self-driving cars and communication between cars. What's going to happen when cars, you know, approaching the intersection and it sees through the – there's that car there and there's that car there, and all of a sudden there's a glitch. How many collisions are there going to be? And you can't depend on technology. If you could, we wouldn't be in studio today.
Well, which is why, you know, we had talked about hotspots and such out there. And if we did this on one of our local affiliates, just that local affiliate, I'd trust it on a hotspot, when you have 100 stations on the other end of the pipe. It just doesn't work that way.
You just can't. So here we are in studio at 855-560-9900. And we are ready to go and talk to you about your car. But before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about my car and the things that can go wrong when you least expect it. And that's the stuff you've got to be aware of. So the Suburban broke this week, and it was a, you know, unexpected. I guess it's never really expected. 60,253 miles on it now. It's, 2004. It's coming up. It's past 15 years old. And it driving down one of the roads here, we were heading into town to get some ice cream. It was ice cream night. Every night should be ice cream night. And we were going to Angelo's for strawberry and gummy bears. Whew. And I'll tell you a story about gummy bears too later. And driving down, and you hear, you know, and I had the window open. It was sort of like half bearable here in the Northeast on Thursday night. You could sort of like, it was okay to hang your arm out the window and just, you know, tool along and talk with your family and laugh. And I heard, boing. And I went, huh? Wow, what the heck was that? And it was this most horrible, like something fell off the truck. And then all of a sudden the noise went away and we just motored along and did our thing. Like everything was good. Well, the bad part was the next morning I had to go to Newark Airport for a drop-off. And I said, you know, I'm not going to take the bus. I'm going to take the baby bus. I'll take the small car. And I did, and I thought about it and thought about it. I said, am I being overly cautious? I didn't feel anything. You know what? I took the Suburban, the bus, as we call it in the family. I took it to the shop, and, you know, we put it up in the air and see what's going on here. I guess it's bad when the left front wheel rocks side to side, you know, probably 3/4 inch in every direction because the ball bearings for the wheel bearing had fallen out. And I guess it was time. And the point of this becomes that, yeah, you know what? New or old, low mileage or high mileage, anything can fail at any time. And that's really what you've got to be aware of. And that's what you've got to pay attention to and expect. You've got to sort of expect the unexpected. and there's really nothing you can do about it. But it also demonstrates the point that, you know, the value in my mind that when you're doing service, when you're doing an oil change, it does pay. Now, Suburban hasn't been in for an oil change. It's coming up on month four, so it'll be due at the end of this month, beginning of next. And, you know, rocking the front suspension, you know, loading the front suspension, feeling the linkage, looking the vehicle over, looking at tires, you know, going back to old school maintenance. And would I have caught the wheel bearing failure? I don't know. I think it just failed. I think it went from good to bad is what I think happened. I think it was okay up until that minute, and the bearing just sort of decided, and twang, and out it popped. The ball bearing started falling out of it. But it does demonstrate to me the need for general maintenance is just, it's still there and it's still just as important. I think we've become, I'm going to say, a little lazy in the way we approach car maintenance sometimes, that we're stopping to look at things and accept the fact that, hey, it's not mechanical, but it is. And we've got to watch that car ever so often. So we'll get some wheel bearings in it this week, and we'll get it back out on the road and drive it for another 60,000 miles. It might take me 15 years, but, you know, and away we go. Let's kick the garage doors open. Let's go over to Lee in Maine, 2000 Camry, and some issues here. Hey, Lee, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm very good. How can I help you today?
Well, I called you, about a month ago in regards to the 2006 Camry.
Okay.
V6. And you told me to take it to my mechanic and to have the basics done. And he did. You know, the car was pulling as if it would go into gear like maybe two or three times.
Was this the car that check engine light was on?
No light.
Okay.
No light at all. And but it just kept, it does the hiccup, you know. I can feel it when it goes into gear. I put it in drive and drive off, and it goes into gear, and then it'll hiccup along the way. And so he scanned it. He checked everything, the fuels, the coils. He scanned it. He said the sensors were okay, no reading. So he's baffled, I would say.
And I'm getting a sense what you're saying, and I'm kind of recalling our conversation from a month ago, that this is the car, it's basically misfiring. The engine isn't running smooth, correct?
It is not running smooth.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. And, you know, is he able to capture that roughness when the scan tool is hooked up, or is this an intermittent fault?
He said he couldn't see anything when he...
Well, but can he duplicate the condition? Does he feel the roughness or the misfire, or is it something only you have experienced to date?
Well, no, from what I gathered, because I asked him, did you take for a drive? He said yes. And he said, I don't know what's doing that. So I'm assuming he did.
Okay. So he just may not have the skills, to be honest with you, to diagnose and repair this.
Now, let me ask you, now, are there different kinds of scanning tools? Is one better than the other, where what he's using is not showing what's wrong?
You know, Lee, there's two languages that cars speak. There's OBD2, which is basic emission control language, and then there's manufacturer-specific, which is manufacturer-specific. So if it's a Toyota, the car is going to speak OBD2, and the car is going to speak Toyota in that sense. Every scan tool on the marketplace that does both languages are good tools. I'll say it like that, all right? The tool is only as good, though, as in the hands of the operator. Now, you know, there is one thing above and beyond that will help define and help point the mechanic towards a problem before it happens, and that's understanding of something called Mode 6, M-O-D-E-6. Mode 6 is there are different modes in OBD2. OBD2 is defined by the Federal Clean Air Act, by the government, of different modes, Mode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Mode 6, 7, 8, and up to 9, I think there's 10 or 11 on the newer things. But we use Mode 6 for our intensive purposes. That Mode 6 is the point at which the computer is testing things, and it's storing the information and then deciding, was it good or bad? Did you ever get a head cold?
Yeah.
All right. You ever been okay on Monday, but you didn't feel great, and Tuesday you kind of got the sniffles, and by Wednesday
that's
you
right.
were six?
Yes.
All right. So that's your mode six. Your brain's going, eh, I don't feel so good. Tuesday, I feel worse. And Wednesday, I'm sick. All right? Computer does the same thing. It tests all its components for every second of every minute of every moment that you're driving it. And it's storing that information. And the place that it's stored is in a section of the computer programming called Mode 6.
Okay.
And in the hands of the right mechanic with a proper scan tool, you can go and look at Mode 6 data. It's the behind-the-scenes peek. And you can see, hey, this test for misfire can't exceed number 2 or 10,000 or 500 or whatever the number is. And if it's 500 and you see 499, here, let me ask the question to you this way. If Mode 6 test data for misfire is, they say that the code is going to set when it hits 500 faults.
Mm-hmm.
If it's at 499, is the car going to set a fault? No.
Yeah.
No, it won't. It's it's at 499. As soon as it hits 500 faults,
I see what you mean. Yeah,
right? Yeah,
you
get it. So as soon as you wake up Tuesday morning, your body's kind of like, well, I'm sort of sick, but I'm not. On Wednesday, you got the aches, chills, and pains. Bingo! You just hit the 500 mark. You're
got
sick.
Yeah.
All right. Same thing with the car. The car goes, hey, now I've got a misfire. That mode six number of 499 on cylinder number 4 went to 500. Bingo, misfire, cylinder number 4. So, you know.
So I would tell him to check for mode 6?
Well, you want to ask him, does his scan tool have the ability to go in and look and define and decipher Mode 6 language? Do this, because I'm gonna run. I've got to run up against the clock.
Okay.
Go Google search Mode 6.
Mode 6, okay.
You know what? There's a lot of videos on YouTube, guys explaining what Mode 6 language is, and some of it's going to be over your head, but you'll get the basic idea that it lets you go and look at the behind-the-scenes operation and the decision-making of the computer to determine whether or not that vehicle has a fault. And if that doesn't get your mechanic to understand it, we got to get to another mechanic. We got to get somebody else to look at this. All right, darling?
I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good luck to you. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming right back. Don't go away.
It's a little red Corvette or a Yugo. You've come to the right place to get that car fixed. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron. Now it's your turn.
Now, thank you. I just wonder who's going to talk first there. I know we're at a kilter. You know, we're missing somebody over there. I noticed that Anthony isn't with us today. I guess his the trains were cockeyed or something today, and maybe you know what? Oh, you know, wait a minute. You know what happened to Tony?
What happened to Tony?
We forgot to tell him we're not in Warwick. Tony's in Warwick looking for us,
and he's enjoying all the food at the food trucks.
Uh oh.
Oh boy! You know, we probably should go pick him up afterwards.
We forgot about Tony. Tony's up at the Warwick Drive-In where we're supposed to be, but
that's okay. He can tell us what happens in the movie Closed for the Season.
You know, he's awful big. He's going to be awful upset.
Well, you know what? You're the one who was supposed to pick him up, so it's not my problem.
Not my fault. I'm talent. Talent never has to worry about these things. Let's go over and talk to Steve in Virginia. Steve, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How are you?
Hi, Ron. Talked to you before.
Yes, sir.
2013 Honda Civic LX with 106,000 miles. And my problem is sort of a generic one. Seems like the Honda dealers or dealers that I experience want to under-maintain. I said to them, gee, isn't it time to do another radiator flush, which I've done several, but also change the radiator hoses and the thermostat. And they go, oh, no, no, Swetsky, you don't need it. We do our multi-point inspection, which is free after a service, but I know the kind of inspection you do is an hour and a charge for an hour, which is how it should be. So, you know, this kind of thing really worries me. I'm almost thinking I'm going to have to visit you and have you give the car a look over.
Anytime, Steve. You know, it's always a pleasure to see you. You know, I know what you're talking about, and it's funny. With all the recalls going on by the various manufacturers, we'll see these checklist reports come in from, you know, Honda dealer A and then Honda dealer B. And then Honda dealer B will be the one selling hoses, thermostats, coolant service on cars with 45,000 miles on them. but Honda dealer A or the other one will be the one that's not selling anything and the car's got 200,000 miles on it. It seems that it is dealer selective in how they do it and how they approach it. And it still comes back to good old-fashioned common horse sense. How many miles are on the car? How's it being driven? And did you physically look at it? The littlest Ananian was home this week with her Escape. It was time for some service and an oil change and so forth. And it's been 18,000 miles since I did filter service to it. And I said, you know, it's a little early, but we are going into fall and winter, and it will probably be March before she makes it back here, back east. And let me just take a peek at it and see what it is. I couldn't believe the amount of leaves and debris that were packed into this air filter housing. And, you know, she's in Pittsburgh. She's in the Pittsburgh area. So it's you know, wow. You know, so, again, it's common sense. Let's just look at it and see what needs to be done. I don't understand why we're so afraid to take care of and maintain a car. And, you know, it seems to be more convenient to throw the car away, and that's more of what people are trying to do. Just throw it away. We'll just go get another one. And I don't know if that works anymore. Look how far your last car went, Steve. How many miles did the last one have on it?
300,600.
Right. And why did you get rid of it?
Well, the last 100, it was a lot of parts. I made it that far kind of for the heck of it.
Right.
And when it was in good shape when I got rid of it, the dealer, a used car dealer, sold it for $1,999. I got $1,300, which right. I'm very happy with. And I don't know where the status of it today is. I'd like to know. If it's around, it's pushing $400,000.
Right. Yeah. Either that or mysteriously it's pushing $100,000 because maybe the speedometer got changed. Oops. you know.
and I have another observation, a little unrelated, if you have a second.
Yeah, go ahead, real quick. I got a minute.
The self-driving cars, I want to say this to the audience. You know how places like Virginia have ridiculously low speed limits in town, like 25, and you're creeping along? I'm going to tell you what, if I can use this word on the radio. Self-driving cars, when they drive themselves, are going to give you a sucky driving experience. And that's what the powers that be want. They want all of us out of cars and onto public transit. And when it's no fun driving, people are going to say, the heck with it. I might as well take the bus.
We were out at dinner last night, and one of the people that was with us, it was a group, and there were some young, some older, some elders. And I'm learning to, I guess I'm getting older and wiser or tired, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm learning to listen to the kids talk, and one of the things they were discussing was how neat it was that they have backup cameras in cars, because it saves their neck so they don't have to look around to see what's behind them. And I listened for a little while, and I couldn't help but point out, you know, when Uncle Steve was 19, I told him, I said, and he was the great World War II fighter pilot of the Ananian family, he said the most important part on a pilot was his neck, so he could look behind him and see who was on a six, and that's what kept him safe and got him through the war. So I think we're forgetting that sometimes we got to look at our six and stay safe. Steve, you take good care. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
When the family car needs some fixing, there's only two things that really matter: getting the right part and getting some good advice. It's a pretty safe bet that with over 1 million parts in stock, Pep Boys has the right part right now. The Pep Boys pros are extensively trained to find the right part for just about any car or truck. Better yet, these pros can also handle the entire installation or service needed. It's always good to have options, and know the Pep Boys pros have it covered either way.
Hey, welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Tom, you ever hear of Super Cruise?
No, but do they have an outfit like Superman?
Well, no, it's Super Cruise. Let's see, I'm reading an article here, Chicago Tribune. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. This comes to us from Officer Tony out in Chicago about a Cadillac CT6 equipped with Super Cruise, which is a semi-autonomous system for self, sort of like self-driving cars that you can kind of sit back and...
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm reading the Chicago Tribune. It's a little old. I'm a little behind. It's from August, early last month. I'm behind. I got a pile of paperwork in here. I never get anything done. Let's go over and talk to Lila in Wisconsin. Let's get something done here. Talk to her about her tire problems. Yes, ma'am. You're on with the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Okay. I had purchased four tires back in 2015. A year and a half later, garbage on the road. I had no choice but to drive through it. Shortly after that, maybe 10, 15 miles, all of a sudden, the whoomp, 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 I had a flat tire.
Right.
But I, okay, it was just like, I would assume, any tire. It just started making a noise very calmly. Okay, I am 78, and I have a car accident where I crushed a disc in my lower back and injured my spinal cord, so I can't walk, but
I'm sorry.
Drive.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, so I had the flat tire. I didn't know what to do. I knew 10 miles up the road about was a garage, so I drove there, got there. They were wonderful. Didn't fix it. They took the tire off. And then I went to my garage that I do everything with. I'm very loyal to them. They're very good to me. So they said, well, because I drove on the tire, the sidewall was bad, you know, had to replace the whole tire. There was only 7,000 miles or 7,126 miles on the tire.
Okay.
So we put another tire just like that on. Drove that until last week, Friday. I was driving with some people in the car, and all of a sudden it went like a scream. It just terrified me, and then it was like a freight train or a tornado noise and howling. And, well, of course, I put my blinker on and pulled over, and sure enough, another flat tire.
Take a breath. Go ahead. You okay?
Okay.
No, so, go ahead.
Well, anyway, Good Samaritan came along. AAA, I waited 2.5 hours. They didn't have anybody there yet. So Good Samaritan came and helped me out, got it changed in 10 minutes. Took it into my garage, and they showed me the tire. It looked like a puncture, like maybe a screwdriver or a nail or something was in it. But they said the tire could not put a plug in it because the whole sidewall was out again. You must have driven it a ways. I said, no, I did not. I pulled over immediately because of my last experience.
Right.
And so he says, well, you've got to replace the whole tire. So now on my car, I have two tires with 20,000 miles on, one tire with 13,000 miles on, and then they want to put a new tire on. And somehow that to me seems like I'm walking with a flat shoe and a high heel. And doing some investigation on the internet, it said that's not good to have different kind of tires on. Does it injure other things in your engine or your drivetrain or anything? That's one question.
What kind of car is this?
2005 Chrysler Town and Country van.
Just front-wheel drive?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's not as critical as it would be if it were an all-wheel drive or some very specific Jeep and Subaru product.
Okay.
You know, it really comes down to more than just mileage. What is the tread depth? I've had cars that have 25,000 miles on a set of tires and they're bald to the tread, and I've had cars with 50,000 miles on them and it's got two-thirds of the way to go. So, you know, not so much, you know, actual mileage. I mean, I really like the way you're thinking, and that's very clear and precise, but it would be, let's measure the tread depth, and, you know, let's see, is this one 7/30 seconds and that one 6/30 seconds in terms of depth? That's not a problem. If there's greater than a 2/30 second tread depth between the tires, then on certain cars that can become an issue. Now, more important or just as important, are the three or four tires that are on here, are we all the same brand and model number, or are we starting to mix and match everything, you know, different?
Mm-hmm. Well, the three that were on, the one that they replaced with the first blowout, that I believe was a tire of the same brand, the same kind and everything.
Okay.
Now, when we were going, he says, well, we can get you a new tire, but they don't make that tire anymore. So we'll get one that'll be close to it. And then I questioned, well, do you think, oh, that'll be all right. But I guess that just didn't feel right to me. So then he says, well, we can put on two new tires, and that way you'll have two and two. Or he said, we can replace all four. And I think he said the depth on the tires, two of them were at 7, and one was at 10. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think that.
Yes, the 1032nd was the newer tire. There's more tread
right.
depth there. And the 732nd were the older two tires.
Right. And those actually, he said, well, actually, these are very good, and other people did too. But I don't know. I mean, after my accident and stuff like this, I don't fool around with my car. I keep it up to date. So my deal was, do I buy one tire, do I buy two tires, or do I replace all four? What would be your opinion?
The first question I would ask is, and don't take this wrong, but would four tires break the bank?
What is it compared to your life?
Well, right.
That's what I put
and
in.
That's,
but no, I could afford.
Now, you know, if you can afford the four tires, because there's two things going on here, Lila.
Right.
All right. One is you know, keeping the car in top shape. Two is, actually, three things: overspending, but three and most important, your peace of mind. All right. It sounds like, you know, you're a senior woman. You're on the road all hours of the day and night. Maybe you're out after 8, 9 o'clock at night sometime. You want to cut down and minimize the potential problem with a tire as best you can. And
right.
if it's because you at least have to do two tires here, all right?
Right?
You've at least got to do two. So having at least to do two, you know what? Treat yourself. Life's too short. Buy the other two tires. You'll have peace of mind. And then it's in the hands of the big guy upstairs. You did everything you could reasonably do to keep yourself safe on the road with good tires. You know, and after that, it's up to the universe. And then at least you've got four tires, same model, same brand, same tread depth. And, you know, you want to throw the other two tires in the garage, or maybe you go back to your regular mechanic and he'll store two tires for you in the event that you get another flat, or, you know, I can't imagine
right.
your luck continuing like this. Sooner or later, it's got to change. If it does, buy a lottery ticket for me. I'll split it with you. And, you know, we'll kind of take it from there. But, yeah, that's how I would play it. I'm like you. I like four of the same. And, you know, it's just one okay. Two, I put two of this, you know. I kind of get to that. And then obviously we want to, you know, make sure we're using a good quality, a good brand of tire, you know, and being very cautious about the offshore tires, the Chinese tires that are being imported into the country, you know, and not
right,
purchasing anything
right.
there. So,
I'm glad to hear that, because that's what I did. And I know I'll get some flack from some of my relatives. Because I know they'll say you could have just put two or one. But is Uniroyal a good tire?
Uniroyal's been around forever. They have limited distribution. You know, it's funny. I don't see Uniroyal as much here in the Northeast, but I see them. I see more of them in the Midwest and in California on the West Coast. So
okay.
Yeah, it's a good tire. We used to use Uniroyal quite a bit back in the late 80s and in the mid 90s. And then, you know, it was like sporadic in my career. I can remember putting Uniroyal Tiger Paws. All right, there's a model
mm-hmm.
tire. Everybody's going to go, wow, I remember Tiger Paws. You know, and then they kind of disappeared, and then they came back again. But, yeah, you're fine. Uniroyal's a good tire.
Okay.
Yep, you'll be fine.
Yep, and I did the four because I just thought I was going to do two, and I went home, and I thought, no, I'm, as you say, I'm going to always wonder, when is that other one going to go? And then there I sit again in the same predicament. This
right.
way I've got four.
Thank
you.
And you tell your relatives, mind your own business. It's my money. Go away. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very
you
welcome, sweetheart.
Day,
you do too. You have a good rest of the weekend. 855-560-9900. I can't stand nosy relatives, Tom. I really can't. These relatives, I think they know best in life. Get out. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after. Welcome back, Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. interesting article, Chicago Tribune, out of titled "Ride" by David McGrath. This goes back early August, courtesy of Officer Anthony from Chicago. Story about the writer writes that he talks about, I purchased a Cadillac CT6 equipped with Super Cruise, which is a semi-autonomous driving system. And he took a 1,200-mile trip from Florida to Chicago, and he documented it for his column. He's a newspaper columnist. Day one, Port Charlotte, Florida, Forsyth, Georgia, 447 miles. Cadillac Super Cruise system uses GPS sensors, map data, and laser sensors that work like radar to steer, control speed, and maintain lane position. I activated at 78 miles an hour on Interstate 75 and then pushed the SC button, 8-inch long light bar inside the top of the steering wheel at eye level, immediately turned green. That signals the driver may let go since lane lines were visible and the route recognized as a segment of the 130,000 miles precision mapped by Cadillac. I mean, this sounds like something out of Star Trek, right? For the next 2 hours, I enjoyed a passenger's ease enjoying the scenery and physically feeling the decision-making of the system's artificial intelligence, which seemed an invisible human presence. A tiny infrared camera on the steering column watched my eyes, even through sunglasses. Had I looked away too long or started to nod off, it would alert me in a series of escalating warnings, starting with blinking lights, a vibrating seat, and ultimately chimes. So it sort of sounds like that when the system's activated, semi-autonomous Super Cruise and late model Cadillac CTS, when the system is activated, are you a prisoner to the system that you have to, you know, what if you want to take a nap? And I guess you can't, so it's semi-autonomous, I guess. That's the whole purpose. But, you know, at 78 miles an hour, at 78 miles an hour on an interstate, things happen in the blink of an eye. That's 80 miles an hour. Did he say that right? Yeah, I activated at 78 miles an hour. By the way, isn't that speeding? What's the speed limit on Interstate 75? We should go look that up, but I that doesn't sound right. That's almost
whereabouts on Interstate 75?
Well, it says here he's going from Port Charlotte, Florida to Forsyth, Georgia.
And the speed limit, you said he was going 78?
78.
I'll check that. It very, very well could be 75 or 80 down there.
Yeah, but still. I don't know that I like that, but he talks about how you know, he had a positive experience. On previous trips, always around dinner time, I was tired and stiff, but today I felt fresh with none of the usual eye strain or backache. I checked into my hotel in Georgia. Of course, I'd like to find out what other kind of car he was driving the last time he took that trip. You know, if it was a Hyundai and now he's driving a Cadillac, there's a reason why he feels better. Day two, Forsyth, Georgia to Kentucky. In a traffic jam north of Atlanta, the Super Cruise handled the steering, stopping, and speed control throughout a 15-minute 0 to 20-mile-an-hour crawl. No hands, no feet, no rising blood pressure. And I would look down for several seconds to find lip balm, switch radio stations, and scribble in my notebook. My co-pilot kept the Cadillac on track. This was true later in a rain squall that blurred the lanes and prompted other drivers to pull over or flash the blinker. Super Cruise kept on. But in bad weather, and, you know, are we really at a stage where I need to drive the car like a pilot flying a plane on instruments? Is it that important that we're going to push the envelope to count on the system to see through the rain and bad weather conditions? I don't buy that. I because one mistake, one glitch, one unexpected piece of weather in the road, a tree falling, something. I've got to, you know, maybe it's ego. You know, maybe a lot of this self-driving stuff is ego. They're, you know, us humans, we can control it better than the machine. But, you know, you just, it's got to be a very different kind of feeling. You had a quick comment, Tom?
I don't know. Coming over here, after we had to abort the remote broadcast, I was driving over here to the studio, and a guy came out, didn't look my way, looked the other way, and just pulled right out into the lane. If it could stop in that, in that instance, I'd say, hey, let's go for it. But, you know, I saw him,
well,
and
now,
I hit the brakes.
Now, would it stop? Would it anticipate? You know, your brain anticipates what he's about to do, and you react to it. Would the system anticipate that, and would it apply the brake, or would it jerk the wheel to the left to avoid the guy? See, that's what I want to know. Can it?
Yeah.
Can
it? And if it jerks the wheel to the left, is it aware of the car over there?
Right, and that's what I haven't seen yet, and that's why I'm, you know, again, we lost internet at the Warwick Drive-In, which is why we're in studio today. Technology fails.
Yes, it does.
At its simplest levels. This is not so simple.
And speaking of your previous question, in Florida, the I-75 speed limit is 70 miles an hour.
Oh, so it's 8 miles an hour over the limit. I don't understand that at all. Okay, we're advertising it. Anyway, let's pull over and take a pause. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor will be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor and the infamous, always there, steady as a rock, often imitated, never duplicated, no baloney, not a phony, Thomas Ray.
I've been trying to find Tony. He's not answering.
I'm telling you, I'm thinking he's stuck under a food truck. He must have burritoed out or something. He must have over burritoed. You know what it is? He's probably practicing for tomorrow when the Giants take the field and the season starts. And he's expanding his mind, his knowledge, and his stomach so he can enjoy the football game in proper, true fashion.
Yeah, so, would not surprise me.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. So, but anyway, what a quick hour. Where did it go? But that story about Super Cruise, that story about Tony, and for the folks up in Warwick, we're sorry, but technology is technology, and we apologize once again for that. But in any event, just as a reminder, I've enjoyed this hour together with each and every one of you, and I am Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, reminding you the mechanics aren't expensive, they're priceless. See ya.